to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As I continue to preach in your hearing, Jesus is calling, "Will you follow?" Part 4, having nothing to do with the popular Jesus is Calling book. I did not even think about that book until we had an illustration about it, but that's an entirely different calling situation. I'm talking about the calling for the salvation of lost people. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 650. Since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1015 since January the 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth: I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What kind of love is this love that is mentioned in John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this deep love. For while we were yet sinners, God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right here we see in your holy word that not only did you die for our sins, you loved us so much that you were willing to dine with us as well while we were in our sin, and stood against the religious crowd condemning you for being with us. We give you glory, praise, and honor, for this is a love that we can't get our head around, but we thank you for it. We individually confess our sins as Christians, our failures and faults. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins. For when you lead us to yourself out of your love and through your love and your grace, you change us where we think differently, we act differently. We should have different desires once you save us. You don't want us to continue in sin, even though we did not have the work for our salvation. You did it for us because you loved us. And so, Holy Father God, for those of us who are Christians tonight, in a strange way, this passage speaks to our heart. to want us to make us want to serve you because we love you back. And we thank you for that wonderful thing that you do and in our hearts and lives. And we pray at the same time you would help us to be like you, to love sinners and hate the proud and arrogant, stubborn, self-righteous crowd. Not hate them with a personally, but to hate their arrogancy and their pride and their hypocrisy. And we pray for them to be saved as well. But Lord, help us to always, like you, love sinners and mix it up with them and to help them to find you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, John Abbott said, God is far better, far more pleased with the exercise of kindness and goodwill between men than by punctilious observation of rites, religion, and formality. The Pharisee showed up at the feast where Jesus was dining. It's almost like they had some kind of radar device on Jesus, some type of tracking device, rather, to know where he was at all times. Dining with Matthew and his disciples and many other publicans and sinners. They raised questions about why Jesus, clearly a holy, godly, and righteous man, was doing something they would never dream of doing, sitting at meat, eating dinner, if you will, with those who were clearly out and out sinners, those who had never darkened the door of a church or the temple, if you will, the outcasts of society, the down and dirty. Jesus rebukes them first with an argument from logic. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. An argument from common sense. But it was so far above their heads, it blew their minds. In other words, if my aim as a healer, a righteous man, is to help others get in a right relationship with God, it makes perfect sense, common sense, for me to spend my time with those who are separated from God by their unrighteousness, by their sins, by their evil deeds that they're committing right now. And these are people who know that they're sick. They know that they're sinners and they need spiritual help. The country would change, America would change overnight, if Christians, pastors, evangelists, and teachers would stop trying to make the religious folks happy and focus on out-and-out sinners. The country would change in short order if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ loved to mix it up with sinners. The church would invade the pubs. A lost man really has no interest in going to a church but a saved person ought to have an interest in going down to the pub and to the club and to the bar, to the concerts. That's our business, matter of fact. It is our business to go and mix it up with sinners and stop acting like we're holier than thou. Some places we can't go to, some drinks we cannot have, some things we cannot do. And stop focusing on that and focus on reaching sinners, lost people. And spending 99% of our time with lost folks, having little meetings with them, teaching them the Word of God, sharing with them the gospel. The country will be changed permanently in short order. The problem with America is the so-called evangelical church, which should drop the name evangelical and go back to the church that God gave us in Antioch, where we were first called Christians, followers of Christ, the name. And that's number one. And then number two, we need to go back to the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Not to the saints, they're already saved. There's a common phrase that goes like this, oh, you're preaching to the choir. Yeah, you see, that's foolishness. That does not make sense. We don't need for you to preach to the choir. That is the gospel. They're supposed to be saved. They're supposed to be born again. There's a problem over here. Just tell me what the problem is. I can't hear you. The Gospel Light House, the prayer page? It looks fine to me. Oh, this is not the Gospel Light? Yeah. It's not on there? I can't hear you up. Okay. Fix it now. For those of you who may not know, our dear friends from all over the world, the devil is attacking us here at the beginning of the year real hard. Through Judas's, through Sanballat's, through Tobias's. I know people in the church don't like to hear stuff like that because everything is supposed to go perfectly in your little church that you created. It doesn't work that way. However, if you're really being used by God, the devil is going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. And the devil will use people in your family. The devil will use people in your church, especially people in your family, especially people in your church, and he will use people outside of the church. I just heard today, and we're not the only ones, I just heard today that in China, they made a church take down one of the commandments, the first commandment that God gave Moses. I believe in the Ten Commandments is what they were referring to. So Christians are under attack by the devil, using humans inside the family, inside the church, outside of the church. Make no mistake about it. And I know in our little prosperity gospel world, everything is supposed to go perfect. And everybody's supposed to act perfectly, but you have devils in prosperity gospel churches too, in which they have found out in recent days. And there are Judases in the best of churches. In fact, the best Judases are in the best of churches. And so you need to understand that this is not a game. This is spiritual warfare, and it is the most difficult kind of warfare known to mankind. Check it. There's no more dangerous kind of warfare known to mankind. This right here, is this on the church thing? Over here. I cannot hear you. No, it needs to be on the church, from the church site. Make sure it all works. Jesus follows the common sense argument with an argument from the Old Testament scriptures, which the Pharisees held in high regard. You got it now? Okay, make sure you do this early on from now on. He says, "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Herein lies, ladies and gentlemen, the love of God. This is what makes the love of God very hard to understand. This is deep love that you will never experience on earth outside of God Himself. And every time I talk about the love of God, I think about that song, the beautiful young lady sung in a church down in Jamaica I was preaching in one evening. I had never heard the song before. The love of God. And if I could sing it myself, I would sing it right now. I would probably sing it every time I preach. But God did not bless me with the ability to sing. And so I won't. But the love of God is so broad, so big, nothing you do will justify in the sense of, in the way of describing it. You can't get your arms around it. It's too big. You can't get your mind around it. I think one of the verses in the song says that if a man tried to write about the love of God, he would drain the ocean dry. Now that's God's love for you. So he says, "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's deep love, dear friend, because God is holy. You must understand, God is holy. And yet, while God, Emmanuel, was with us here on earth, He did not mind, like some of us, sitting down with sinners in their wicked, evil, ungodly ways. He didn't mind. He didn't mind drinking a glass of wine with sinners and eating the same kind of food they ate. And not only with one sinner, but many sinners were coming and going. God loves us so much. God loves sinners so much. God loves His creation so much, He was willing to do whatever it took to get us saved and redeemed. Amen, somebody. The Pharisees would have been insulted by the suggestion that they did not understand the scriptures. No doubt. The Pharisees were very proud and arrogant people, and they felt like they knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. They had the law part of the equation down pat, so to speak. They understood that sinners were rightly condemned by God. However, they did not understand why God, or in this case, Jesus Christ, a godly man in their minds, would show mercy to sinners. So Jesus gives them some homework, if you will. He tells them, "Go ye and learn what that meaneth." Go back to the Holy Scriptures. Go back to your study and learn what that meaneth. In the meantime, let me continue to communicate with all of the sinners around me. In the meantime, let me love sinners. This is deep love, dear friends. The words Jesus quotes next, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice," come from the prophet Hosea, who rebuked the Israelites because they continued to bring sacrifices, and observe the religious holy days, but they did not carry the spirit of the law in their hearts. They had the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. They felt that their strict observances justified them, made them holy in God's sight, made them righteous in God's sight, like so many of us do today. We have some people in the church who think that a person is legalistic when they talk about women dressing modestly. And all the person is saying that is if you are born again, if you are a child of God, if you are saved, you would dress modestly. It's not about a law that you keep. It's not legalism. It's all about God's love for you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You trust Christ because of God's love and mercy and grace. And then you start doing certain things that you were not doing before out of your love back for God. It's not a legalistic matter. It's a love matter. If you love God, you will obey God. For Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." They had no concept of God's mercy. They had no concept of God's compassion towards sinners or toward them, or the mercy and compassion God desired them to show to others. Dr. Albert Barnes writes that Jesus used this Old Testament quote to say, "I, and by extension, if you will, God, is more pleased with acts of benevolence and kindness than with a mere external compliance with the duties of the law and religion. For some have the letter of the law in their hearts, and some have the spirit of the law." The law is still good. But it is God's love first, and you're loving God back because of God's love, and you start living an obedient life. That's the spirit of the law. Yea, the spirit of Christ. The spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, living in you. This is why the Bible tells us to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Stop trying to do things according to the law, and do things according to the spirit of the law, by the power of the Holy Spirit and because of the spirit of love that God has shown you and that you now have back to him. I'm not preaching tonight because I have to. I'm not preaching tonight because God is making me do it. He wants me to do it. But because he's shown so much love for me, I want to do it, and I do it because I love him back. I don't do it to get saved. I don't do it to get any brownie points. I'm not interested in rewards. I'm doing it because God put it in my heart to do it. And because he first loved me, I love him back, and I do it. And it costs me a whole lot to do it. That's a lot of satanic attacks, a whole lot of Judases that I have to fight against and deal with in the family, in the church, on the outside. Constantly battles, constantly something going on to try to hinder me from preaching the gospel. Very dark, and it's a thick warfare. But I do it because I love God and I love Jesus, because they first loved me. Ladies and gentlemen, I have so much more to preach to you tonight, but I want you to know tonight that God loves you. God loves sinners. And if you are a sinner, God loves you. I have an entire half of a message left to preach, but God is wanting me to end it right now, because he has us all right where he wants us to be. God loves sinners. God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all you have to do, dear friend, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a cathedral. You don't have to get sprinkled. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the preacher to buy him a plane, or buy him another Bentley. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept the fact, like Matthew and his friends, the publicans and sinners, that you are a sinner. You have broken God's laws. You have broken some of his Ten Commandments, at least. So have I. So has the Pope. We all have done wrong according to the Holy Bible. Just acknowledge that. Admit that. And trust Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial, eternal Lamb of God who suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. All you have to do is pray and ask him to save you, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. If you are ready and willing to pray and ask Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart, I'll be more than happy to lead you in prayer. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you're trusting in Christ right now in your heart, pray with me this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer, and ask Christ to come into your heart to save your soul. And he will. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have had evil thoughts before, coveting what is not mine, lusting after people and things, taking your holy name in vain. Lord, I have not murdered anybody, but Lord, I've shown hatred to others in my heart, which is a form of murder, according to your holy word. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information, to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.